Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 20th, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about: First Singapore Bank joins JP Morgan's blockchain payments initiative. Kyrgyzstan cuts off power to 45 crypto miners for overconsumption. Zap Dev, use Lightning Network to buy Bitcoin. Avoid Coinbase, BitPay. CME Group is launching Bitcoin options early in 2020. Genesis Trading acquires quant investment firm Ku Capital. Korean conglomerate CJ develops blockchain for music copyright. Verizon just won a patent to create virtual sims on a blockchain. Bitwise tells SEC, Bitcoin now a regulated market of significant size. Bitcoin's $780 price recovery makes Friday's close pivotal. CipherTrace Scout app takes crypto investigations mobile. Wells Fargo stablecoin faster, cheaper than Swift, says exec. Burns sells overstock stake to buy crypto and battle deep state. Now let's get started. First Singapore Bank joins JP Morgan's blockchain payments initiative. JP Morgan's blockchain payments platform has just onboarded its first Singapore-based bank. With the addition of OCBC, the second largest bank in Southeast Asia by assets, JP Morgan's Interbank Information Network (IIN) now has around 345 banking members across the globe. Roughly 40% of those are from the Asia-Pacific region. Built on Quorum, a permissioned blockchain based on Ethereum and developed in-house by JP Morgan, IIN is designed to enable member banks to exchange information in real-time as a way to verify that a payment has been approved, according to recent announcement from JP Morgan. In a report on the news Friday, the Business Times cites John Hunter, global head of clearing for JP Morgan Chase, as saying, "The intent with IIN was always to develop a meaningful ecosystem of bank users, all focused on harnessing emerging technologies such as blockchain to better address the complex cross-border payments industry." The addition of OCBC comes just days after Deutsche Bank, the world's biggest clearer of euro payments, joined IIN. IIN is aiming to have 400 members by the end of 2019. Kyrgyzstan cuts off power to 45 crypto miners for overconsumption. Kyrgyzstan has cut off power to 45 crypto mining firms as they consumed more energy than three local regions combined. Senior energy official Aitmamat Nazarov has warned cryptocurrency mining is not defined under Kyrgyzstan law, local news agency Aki Press reported on September 20. 136 megawatts of electricity used. According to Nazarov, 45 crypto miners consumed 136 megawatts of electricity, which is more than the amount consumed by three Kyrgyzstan regions, Issyk Kul, Talas and Naryn. Cheap energy pricing. Kyrgyzstan has become a popular site for global cryptocurrency mining firms due to cheap energy prices. In August, the country's Ministry of Economy submitted a draft law in order to introduce cryptocurrency mining taxation, a move designed to boost revenues. Cryptocurrencies were banned in Kyrgyzstan in July 2014 after the National Bank warned it is illegal to use Bitcoin, BTC, and other cryptocurrencies as a payment method. Iran, which has also been cutting off electricity to local mining farms, has proposed registering crypto miners on an annual basis in a move to regulate the industry. Zap Dev, use Lightning Network to buy Bitcoin. Avoid Coinbase, BitPay. The creators of Bitcoin, BTC, wallet Zap have introduced a new tool for instantly purchasing Bitcoin using a bank account via the Lightning Network. Lightning powers instant debit card Bitcoin buys. In a blog post and associated social media posts on September 19, Zap Solutions founder Jack Mahler said Olympus was specifically designed to bypass offerings from BitPay and Coinbase. The Lightning Network facilitates instant delivery of BTC purchases, and Know Your Customer (KYC) procedures are kept to a minimum. Someone who has never experienced Bitcoin before should be able to swipe their debit card, get Bitcoin delivered to them directly onto the Lightning Network, and make inexpensive instant micropayments within seconds of purchase, Mahlers explained. The service does not require a Zap wallet for use and operates as a standalone component for existing wallet users. For them, using this function is optional, with KYC only applicable to those who choose to use it. Testing is underway, with Zap applying for money transmitter licenses in each U.S. state prior to a rollout in 2020. Developer on Coinbase and BitPay, F**** Explaining the impetus behind Olympus, Mahlers did not mince his words. Do we wait for Coinbase and BitPay to come around to Lightning? Leave it up to the closed-source elites that have misrepresented Bitcoin for years to take the baton and run to the finish line? No F**** that, he wrote. Both companies have felt the pressure this year as dissatisfaction grew among clients. In the case of BitPay, arbitrary rejections of certain payments including charity donations sparked outrage on social media. CME Group is launching Bitcoin options early in 2020. Derivatives marketplace CME Group has announced that it will offer options on its Bitcoin futures contracts starting in the first quarter of next year. The Chicago-based company first launched its futures product back in December 2017, at the same time as its Windy City rival, the Chicago Board Options Exchange, CBOE. In its announcement on Friday, CME said the launch of Bitcoin options is aimed to provide clients with additional tools for precision hedging and trading. The launch is pending regulatory review. Tim McCourt, CME Group Global Head of Equity Index and Alternative Investment Products, said, "Based on increasing client demand and robust growth in our Bitcoin futures markets, we believe the launch of options will provide our clients with additional flexibility to trade and hedge their Bitcoin price risk. These new products are designed to help institutions and professional traders to manage spot market Bitcoin exposure, as well as hedge Bitcoin futures positions in a regulated exchange environment." The firm detailed that, since the 2017 launch, it has seen 20 successful futures expiration settlements, with over 3,300 individual accounts trading the contracts. Close to 7,000 CME Bitcoin futures contracts are traded on average each day, the firm added. In March 2018, just months after it had started offering futures for Bitcoin, CBOE abruptly changed tack and halted the product. That left CME as the sole provider of Bitcoin futures in the U.S. CME will have a new rival from on Monday, however, when the Intercontinental Exchange and its subsidiary Bakkt begin offering a new futures product. Unlike CME's cash contracts, though, ICE will be offering a physically settled product, meaning customers will receive actual Bitcoin instead of the cash equivalent. Genesis Trading acquires Quant investment firm Ku Capital. Digital currency trader and lender Genesis expanded its trading and research capabilities Thursday by acquiring New York-based quantitative investment firm Ku Capital. In an interview with CoinDesk, Genesis CEO Michael Morrow said Ku Capital initially approached his company to use its trading and lending services early this year. Genesis then decided to acquire Ku Capital to integrate its in-house team and expand its trading and lending businesses. Morrow declined to disclose financial terms of the deal. Some of the technologies in use by Ku Capital are needed by Genesis to build its internal team, according to Morrow. For example, one of the patented products acquired is a smart order routing system to facilitate transactions between cryptocurrency exchanges and investors. Upon the acquisition, Genesis has hired two of the three founders Lucas Schuerman, Edward Yu and one junior staff member out of the six-person team at Ku Capital. "We have been very impressed with the Ku Capital team and believe they will provide key technology enhancements that will benefit our trading and lending clients," Morrow said. Genesis struck its first acquisition deal as its crypto-related lending business saw $746 million in loans in the second quarter, increasing its total originations to $2.3 billion since its launch in March 2018. The company provides high-net-worth individuals and institutional investors with over-the-counter digital currency trading and lending services. Investment startup Ku Capital, founded in 2017, developed trading technology, including exchange connectivity, order routing, and execution tools. We are excited to add the Ku Capital tools, which incorporate machine learning and other advanced methodologies, into our existing technology stack and new product offerings, Pat DeFrancesco, CTO of Genesis, said in a statement announcing the acquisition. Korean conglomerate CJ develops blockchain for music copyright. CJ, one of South Korea's largest conglomerates, is developing a blockchain-based music copyright management system using Oz Amazon-managed blockchain service, according to local media. Korean news agency Yonhap said in a report Thursday that the initiative is being led by CJ Oliva Networks, a subsidiary of the CJ Corp parent company that operates the beauty retail and technology business of the conglomerate. The digital copyright system will keep a history of the broadcasting of copyrighted songs and store the information on the blockchain. The goal is to allow the owners and users of the material to share the resulting ledger and arrive at an equitable payment scheme for the use of the copyrighted intellectual property. It is very important to have a system that guarantees fairness and transparency among copyright stakeholders, Kim Ung-Doo, a director of the DT Convergence Research Institute at CJ Oliva Networks, was quoted as saying in a report from business outlet Hanking. The blockchain-based copyright management system will greatly contribute to improving the copyright management process. The CJ Group is South Korea's 14th largest conglomerate and has 31 trillion won, $25.9 billion, in assets, according to the latest Fair Trade Commission data. Its business lines include food and beverage, logistics, beauty stores, IT, entertainment and a cinema chain. CJ Oliva Networks operates Olive Young, one of the country's K-beauty leaders, and has an IT division that does everything from Internet of Things to cloud computing to big data. But a decision was announced in April to split the two and transfer the IT division to CJ Corp. CJ Oliva Networks did not respond to a request for comment. Oz became available in Korea in 2016. It started offering its managed blockchain to the public in May 2019 following the introduction of the service late in 2018. AT&T, Nestle and Accenture are among the clients for the service. Verizon just won a patent to create virtual SIMs on a blockchain. Telecommunications conglomerate Verizon is eyeing the use of blockchain technology to underpin the dynamic creation of virtual SIM cards. The company was granted a patent with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for the concept on September 10, in which it sets out how the invention could do away with pre-inserted, branded physical SIM cards. The patent describes how a physical SIM card can be replaced by a software equivalent of virtual SIM (VSIM) that is secured with blockchain-based encryption. A device on the mobile network would create a user account for storing one or more VSIMs and a selection of network services to be associated with the account. The network device then creates a blockchain record including a VSIM certificate for the network services and an International Mobile Subscriber Identity (IMSI), a number that uniquely identifies all users of a cell phone network. The VSIM certificate is then linked to the user account and can be activated on a client's mobile device. Participating nodes on the distributed consensus network would maintain a list of records that Verizon calls a VSIM blockchain. This would be secured from malicious tampering by storing time-stamped transactions in cryptographically secured blocks. Records on the VSIM blockchain would be stored in a hash tree structure for efficiency and to ensure that blocks are received undamaged and unaltered, according to the patent. Notably, the VSIM can be assigned any of multiple mobile devices linked to the user account and transferred between the devices. It could also be temporarily assigned to other users, says Verizon. Backing it all up would be a VSIM platform hosted by the mobile network provider that stores a user repository of VSIMs using a number of application programming interfaces, APIs. According to the patent, in one implementation, users can accept new VSIM certificates into a user account, transfer a VSIM among client devices associated with the user account, or deliver a VSIM certificate to another user. This would appear to suggest that, say, a company could purchase a number of VSIMs, assign them to its staff at will and later reassign them to other employees using the system. Verizon has previously backed a $15 million funding round for Filament, a firm working on blockchain hardware for the Internet of Things. Bitwise tells SEC, Bitcoin now a regulated market of significant size. Crypto index fund provider Bitwise Asset Management has given another presentation to the United States Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) in its bid for regulatory approval of its proposed Bitcoin exchange-traded fund ETF. In a memorandum, issued September 17, the SEC published Bitwise's presentation outlining why it believes the regulators' concerns have been largely addressed. Bitcoin spot market now more efficient. The presentation started by recapping how the market has evolved and improved over the past 2 years. Firstly, the spot market has become more efficient, with the average deviation of Bitcoin prices across the top 10 exchanges falling. Although this was just below 1% back in December 2017, it has now dropped further to under 0.1%. Institutional-grade Bitcoin infrastructure is being built. In addition, many new institutional-grade Bitcoin custody services are springing up and receiving licenses from local jurisdictions to manage and store Bitcoin for clients. Meanwhile, this year has seen record Bitcoin futures volumes on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, suggesting that the regulated futures market is now of significant size. Crypto industry addressing 95% fake volume reports. Bitwise also notes that, following research published earlier in the year that 95% of trading volume is fake, there have been several developments. Data providers responded by implementing measures to ensure reported data was more accurate, with exchanges reporting a drop in volume of more than 90%. Data patterns on certain other exchanges shifted to match the real-world patterns witnessed by Bitwise. But overall, there is now a greater awareness of the existence of fake volume, and more exchanges are taking steps to address these concerns. Overall, the efficiency of the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency market continues to increase, along with volumes at the top 10 exchanges. Bitwise hopes that this will allay the SEC's concerns over its Bitcoin ETF application, and finally give it a green light next month. However, SEC Chairman Jay Clayton recently reaffirmed his assertion that more regulation is needed before Bitcoin is traded on major traditional exchanges. Bitcoin's $780 price recovery makes Friday's close pivotal. View: Bitcoin created a bullish hammer candle yesterday, making today's UTC close pivotal. A close above $10,380 candles high will likely invite stronger buying pressure and yield a rise toward $11,000. A high-volume move above $10,822 would confirm a triangle breakout on the daily chart and signal a resumption of the rally from $4,000. Prices may fall back to Thursday's low of $9,600 if the cryptocurrency fails to hold above $10,000 in the next 24 hours. Bitcoin's $780 recovery from an 18-day low has neutralized the bearish setup, but a strong follow-through is now needed to put the bulls back in charge. The leading cryptocurrency by market value picked up a bid around $9,600, the lowest level since September 1 in the Asian trading hours on Thursday, and rose to a high of $10,380 on Bitstamp in the U.S. trading hours. That quick recovery saved the day for the bulls, as the cryptocurrency was looking weak below key support at $9,855, as discussed yesterday. Notably, the price bounce from $9,600 to $10,380 has taken the shape of a candlestick pattern named bullish hammer, as seen in the chart below. A bullish hammer comprises a long lower shadow, a small body, and little or no upper shadow. It occurs when an asset erases a big early drop to end the day on a positive note at or near the day's high. On Thursday, BTC fell to $9,600, only to rise all the way back to $10,380 before printing a UTC close at $10,271, up 1.18% on the day. A hammer is widely considered an early warning of an impending rally. However, traders usually wait for a strong follow-through, preferably a UTC close above the hammer candle's high, before hitting the market with fresh bids. The focus, therefore, is on today's UTC close. Acceptance above the hammer candle's high of $10,380 will likely invite stronger buying pressure and yield a rise to $11,000. As of writing, BTC is changing hands at $10,140 on Bitstamp, having clocked a high of $10,308 earlier today. BTC has created a bull flag, a continuation pattern on the hourly chart. A breakout, if confirmed, would imply a resumption of the rally from $9,600 and create room for a rally to $10,950, target as per the measured move method. The probability of BTC printing a convincing close well above $10,380 would rise if the flag ends with a bullish breakout. While a close above $10,380 is expected to bode well for BTC, a full bull revival needs an upside break of a 3-month contracting triangle seen in the chart below. The upper and lower edges of the triangle are currently located at $10,822 and $9,450, respectively. A close above $10,822, if confirmed, would imply a resumption of the rally from lows near $4,000 seen on April 2. The lower edge may come into play if the cryptocurrency closes below $10,000 today, taking the shine off the bullish hammer candle. CipherTrace Scout app takes crypto investigations mobile. Blockchain forensics firm CipherTrace has developed a mobile tool for flagging Bitcoin and Ethereum tokens with a criminal past. Announced today, CipherTrace Scout grants street-level investigators more freedom to identify, track, and document illicit crypto transactions from the field, company representatives and law enforcement experts said. The software builds on a suite of investigatory tools investigators already use. An app-based interface traces addresses through the blockchain to identify what coins may have been used by the crypto underworld, in dark market purchases or in ransomware extortion attacks. Users input an address and CipherTrace Scout generates an instant report. It flags potentially criminal addresses with a high degree of certainty, according to Julio Barragan, a financial crime and compliance analyst at CipherTrace. You can imagine some beat cop in a high-risk area, literally finding something that appears to be tainted, Barragan said. He can share a case with an analyst at headquarters and that analyst could do the tracing very quickly to determine where the source of the funds were. Casey Bone, a high-tech crime specialist and educator for the National White Collar Crime Center who trains agents to use CipherTrace, said that the new technology will be of immediate use in the field. I think a scenario like this, CipherTrace Scout, where I can put an address in and see, hey, this address has been involved in some sort of nefarious activity, I think that can be huge, Bone, who teaches law enforcement officials how to use tracking services, said. You can almost rule in and rule out things at that point. New spin on an old service. Federal agencies, police investigators and auditors already use cryptocurrency tracking software for finding crooks. The Internal Revenue Service contracted crypto transaction tracer Chainalysis from 2015 through at least 2017. Then, America's Tax Service called the software necessary to identify and obtain evidence on individuals using Bitcoin for criminal dealings. Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, agents cross-reference ransomware attacks against an internal database called the Internet Crime Complaint Center, which maintains a list of every such instance. They also use a blockchain-based tool to process victim addresses. Federal agents want to move their tracing ever deeper. In a pre-solicitation document at the end of last year, the Department of Homeland Security mulled the feasibility of tracing privacy tokens, which confound easy research with complex security. Technologies such as CipherTrace and Chainalysis now pervade law enforcement agencies across the country, according to Bone, the tech crimes expert. He says that Chainalysis is something of a federal standard. But CipherTrace Scout builds on what Bone called a law enforcement favorite, visualization. We can visualize the transactions using the software. I can see from A to B and then I can start pivoting from there in a visual manner, which is oftentimes easier for someone to understand. I like the visualization, the students like the visualization, he noted. Adapting to trends. CipherTrace Scout's rollout comes alongside a spike in street-level cryptocurrency use. Bone said law enforcement partners reported a surge in low-level uses cases, prostitution, drug sales, child pornography trades. We have found that your drug dealer on the street has gotten savvy. They've gotten a little more savvy and they have started to develop these trades online, using other cryptocurrencies. Berrigan, the CipherTrace analyst, credits the proliferation of Bitcoin ATMs and other crypto-capable kiosks. There are approximately 900 Coinstar machines embedded in Safeways across the U.S. that spit out crypto, he said. It's becoming very, very easy anyone to acquire crypto, and it's starting to be used for street crimes. The Scout flags nefarious addresses. But it also ignores everyday users, a feature Bone calls critical. While there is criminal activity that occurs with these technologies, there's a lot of normal, regular people who are taking part in this technology as well. Wells Fargo stablecoin faster, cheaper than Swift, says exec. Banking giant Wells Fargo says its blockchain for internal cross-border money transfers is faster and more efficient than Swift, the global messaging system used by over 11,000 financial institutions. Unveiled this week, Wells Fargo Digital Cash uses R3's Corda Enterprise software to handle internal book transfers when funds move from a payer's account to a payee's account at the same bank. When we move money across the world and we need to exchange currencies, we have to go through third parties such as Swift and other banks, said Lisa Frazier, head of the innovation group at Wells Fargo. That's a long process and every time there's a connection with external parties, it takes time and energy and effort. Using the digital cash would allow the bank to move funds 20 hours a day, up from only 6 to 9 hours, 5 days a week when it relies on wire transfers and systems like Swift, Frazier said. She told CoinDesk. It's faster than Swift, cheaper and definitely more efficient. Today, for internal book transfers between branches in different countries, the bank needs to use Swift. This is not the case for domestic internal book transfers. The blockchain project, which will go into a pilot phase next year after a successful proof of concept, will allow those locations to exchange digital cash among themselves, Frazier said. As with rival megabank JP Morgan's JPM coin, Wells Fargo's digital cash will be backed one-for-one with the analog kind. We will hold the fiat currency, so it's a stablecoin, and we will issue digital cash tokens. These tokens are placed into digital wallets and then those tokens are able to be exchanged, Frazier said. Parallel paths. Frazier said Wells Fargo has been avidly participating since 2016 in blockchain tests that she described as external, meaning other banks and financial institutions were involved. However, the bank has also been busy pursuing internal use cases for distributed ledger technology, DLT, she said. I think the surprise is, we have found a really solid internal application for DLT on our book transfers. By doing this, we are streamlining the book transfer process and are reducing the use of intermediaries that can cause a delay in settlement. Therefore, we are widening the operating window for clearing of FX wires cross-border, she said. The stablecoin project also happens to be the first project the bank has built using the paid-for version of R3's DLT, which Wells Fargo has now licensed with more to follow on the platform, the bank added. Swift declined to comment, but the messaging system itself is collaborating with R3 on a number of projects, such as a proof of concept to connect the former's GPI to the latter's Corda to enable off-ledger payment settlement. The results of this POC will be revealed at CBOS 2019. Corda Settler, the Corda Network's open-source payments engine, has also been tested with the cryptocurrency XRP. However, Wells Fargo scotched any suggestion the bank would be connecting its digital coins to anything outside its own internal payments systems. R3's Corda Enterprise was selected as the platform for our first enterprise DLT network, not Corda Settler, said a spokesman for the bank. Wells Fargo Digital Cash is an internal settlement service which will not be associated or connected to any other potential digital cash solutions emerging in the financial services markets today. Alex Lipton, a former bank executive, trader and quant, said Wells Fargo's coin is potentially very useful for simplifying the bank's Byzantine internal processes, but not something that will see much usage outside the bank and a handful of close partners. Large banks are so bad that they have to use SWIFT like everyone else, so in effect, they don't differentiate between inside and outside of banks. So, a coin can help. But it is a sign of desperation, said Lipton, now co-founder and chief technical officer at fintech firm Sila. Another JPM coin? At first blush, Wells Fargo's digital cash may appear to be another JPM coin, the much-vaunted technology built using Quorum, the privacy-centric version of Ethereum developed by JP Morgan. Although initially intended for payments between clients, the coin will eventually be used to digitally fund enterprise blockchain projects such as on-chain debt issuances, JP Morgan executives have said. JPM also boasts 344 banks on its Interbank Information Network, IIN, which uses Quorum to eradicate pain points in the way information circulates within foreign correspondent banking. Frazier played down any similarities between JPM coin and Wells Fargo digital cash. I think they are very different, she said. Wells Fargo is not a member of IIN, but Frazier hinted at a long-term plan for interoperability. She concluded, eventually in the future, there will be interoperable networks. As these emerging technologies come out of a nascent stage, all kinds of things can happen. Burn sells overstock stake to buy crypto and battle deep state. Patrick Burn, the former CEO of Overstock who resigned abruptly in August, has dumped his 13% stake in the e-commerce company he founded 20 years ago to buy cryptocurrency and precious metals, he announced late yesterday. In a blog post at his deepcapture.com, Burn said that, by the end of the week, he will have reinvested all of the proceeds into investments that are counter-cyclical to the economy. Gold, silver and two flavors of crypto, he wrote. A longtime proponent of cryptocurrency Overstock was one of the first companies to accept crypto payments, launch the T0 security token trading platform and acquired the company behind Ravencoin. Burn was ahead of the curve, but perhaps too much so, as the external pressures against him compelled his resignation from the company last month. Burn's final gambit, a crypto dividend approved in July, worked to lift Overstock's share price to a 52-week high last week, but the value of the shares fell by half as his plan unraveled. Yesterday, after the market closed, Burn filed a statement with the Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) that he had sold 4.7 million Overstock shares worth $90 million. The transactions were over the previous three trading sessions, as the stock price fell from a high of $29.38 on Friday to $15.65 today. Burn's blog post followed a statement from Overstock, announcing a halt to the crypto dividend policy after a New York Post report detailed the behind-the-scenes maneuvering due to what Burn described in his post as a leak from the deep state's pets at the SEC. They leaked that they were going to Bazoomba our digital dividend, he wrote. The November dividend was to be paid out as a digital security listed on T0. The dividend was actually a digital rights issue that would grant one digital voting series A1 preferred stock, representing 10 shares of common stock, or 10 shares of voting series B preferred stock, that could only be traded through a Dinosaur Financial Group brokerage account and that only after being held for a 6-month waiting period. Overstock told the SEC in the filing that a new crypto dividend would be announced shortly that would exclude the long holding period and other restrictions to allow the digital rights to be traded freely and immediately. The leak to the New York Post revealed that the crypto dividend was conceived by Burn as a means to squeeze Overstock's short sellers, who he knew would reject its complications and wind up their positions. The plan actually worked as Overstock's share price surged. That is, until Burn's own sell-off began this week, as the Post reported that brokers at JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley were rescuing Overstock's short sellers, offering them dollars at an equivalent value to the blockchain-based stock. In the blog post, Burn wrote that when word reached him of Wall Street banks stepping in to stymie his short of the short sellers, he moved into action. Once that started getting back to me, I realized this, whenever I have had any question about whether the SEC would or would not do something totally outrageous in order to hurt our company to benefit their clients on Wall Street, they never let me down, they always did the evil thing. So, Petway decided it was time to eject, especially because he knows I need the ammo to go to war against the deep state. Burns said that he would buy Overstock shares again if the company were to bottom out in a coming economic crash, while his move into crypto assets would grow his assets under those conditions. You will have a friend who has sunk, almost, his entire fortune into investments that will soar if a crisis occurs. In the meantime, he said his net worth and ammo would be more secure on the blockchain, far from the reach of his enemies. The crypto is stored in the place where all crypto is stored, in mathematical mist, behind long keys held only in the memory of someone who is quite good at storing such things in memory, with paper backups in the hands of a priest I met 35 years ago who never sits 6 foot in the West. The other thing accomplished by the investment moves I described above is that my ammunition gets moved outside acts of retaliation from the deep state. That is important because, in fact, I am now going to shellack them. Actually, shellack is too weak a word for what I intend to do to the deep state. Sit back and enjoy the show. The gallivanting, roguish, 68 executive resigned from Overstock last month after admitting to his affair with the Russian spy Maria Butina, in an attempt to avoid dragging the company further into the personal scandal. Butina, who is now in jail for conspiracy to act as an agent for a foreign government, entered the U.S. with a student visa to attend a dinner party in New York City hosted by Rockefeller heir George O'Neill for his Center of National Interest think tank that tries to bring the U.S. and Russia together. In addition to the Rockefeller scion, her case ensnared the former head of the National Rifle Association and a gunrunner caught up in the 1980s Iran-Contra scandal, all three deemed her handlers here. In a brief and bewildering letter to his shareholders, and filed with the SEC, Byrne confirmed the affair and claimed he had several roles as a confidential informant for law enforcement. Byrne said that Warren Buffett had advised him to come clean and leave his job to prevent Overstock from being further enmeshed in a spy versus spy battle that had nothing to do with the online furniture business. Or cryptocurrencies, for that matter, although Byrne believes his enemies were motivated to target him because of his crypto evangelism. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.